This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Each year, it is our tradition to recognize a change maker in developmental disabilities with the Shriver Award. The award was named for Eunice Kennedy Shriver, who was a pioneer in the worldwide struggle for rights and acceptance for people with intellectual disabilities. She founded the Special Olympics. In the late 1950s and 60s, Eunice Shriver saw little justice in the way people with intellectual disabilities were treated, and she saw them excluded and placed in institutions, yet she knew they had many talents and gifts to offer. This year's recipient of the Shriver Award goes to Tim Jin. Tim Jin is an important leader and role model for the many users of augmentative and alternative communication who wish to live independently and with their support in their own communities and to direct their own lives. We often talk about full participation and self-direction, but too often we don't see it in practice for people with communication disabilities or for people who have high support needs. I've had the honor and privilege of working with Tim in multiple capacities. On the board of Communication First, the only national advocacy organization for people who don't use speech reliably to communicate, Tim has been an important voice. As a community leader, I've learned from Tim in his many public speaking engagements. He is an AAC consultant and educator, encouraging, teaching, and leading discussion groups for AAC users. As an advisory group member for Ability Central, Tim helps direct philanthropy to groups that are doing good work. And during the COVID pandemic, Tim led town halls, spoke to the media, and published his insights in the Los Angeles Times. Our community needed quality information and support, and Tim was there for us. Tim is tireless in his work on improving disability policy. He serves on the California Department of Developmental Services, Developmental Services Task Force. He serves on the State Self-Determination Advisory Committee as well as serving in the In-Home Supportive Services Advisory Committee. He is a founder of Disability Voices United and now serves as the Director of Empowerment Programs. Tim's contributions are broad and deep, and I'm very pleased to honor his service today with this award. So without further ado, I want to welcome Tim Jin to present the Shriver Lecture, Communication Rights and Self-Direction, Leadership by Example. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Krip Key, for that generous introduction and to all esteemed guests gathered here today. Your kind words are deeply appreciated, and it is indeed a profound honor to receive the Shriver Award. I extend my gratitude to the University of California, San Francisco, for their unwavering support and dedication to advancing healthcare for individuals with developmental disabilities and all disabilities. Your commitment to research and education is instrumental in improving the lives of those who rely on advocates for their health and well-being. Please allow me to introduce myself, and since you can only see me in a square box and not in person, you may not see my nuances. I have cerebral palsy from birth and can type with my toes. I am communicating with you through an augmentative and alternative communication, AAC, device, which is mounted on my footrest on my chair. I like to say that the only body part that works properly is my big toes, but thankfully, my mind still works like a champ, depending on how many things I have going on. This can be a lot because I think that I've started to get arthritis in my toes and I'm 1 year shy of turning 50. I probably typed the equivalent of 10 Webster dictionaries in my lifetime because I communicate through typing and my voice. I don't consider my communication devices to be my natural voice, but a vessel to relay my thoughts to others and carry on many conversations from all avenues that life has to offer. I see my devices as an expression to my body and my personality. Here is a little background on myself before I present my talk on communication rights and self-direction. I identify not only as an advocate for the disabled community, but also as a champion for various interests that define me. Refraining from the label of self-advocate, I reject the notion that my disability should confine me to a singular sphere. Such labels, I believe, perpetuate segregation and undermine the full inclusion and acknowledgement we seek in society. I have my degree in speech communication from Cal State Long Beach and have been living on my own with assistance from my caregivers, or I like to call them my staff members, for about 25 years now. I reside in Southern California in my condo and work full-time as the Director of Empowerment Programs at Disability Voices United. I was one of the founders of the organization. I never envisioned myself as a leader, but my advocacy journey has opened doors to opportunities beyond my imagination. I serve as a board member for a national organization advocating for communication rights for people with disabilities. Additionally, I'm honored to be a board member of a philanthropic foundation supporting projects in the disabled community focused on communication. Moreover, I actively participate in a national group dedicated to self-direction and have gained recognition in California for my advocacy efforts within the self-determination program. I too forget how many noteworthy projects, boards, and committees I'm involved in because oftentimes, my calendar looks like a checkerboard. My two younger brothers and their wives are all doctors and nurses. However, my schedule is most busiest out of all of them. I am an uncle to my 7 nieces and no nephews, and my family immigrated from Korea in the early 70s before they raised me and my brothers in the States. Ironically, my parents had all sons, while my brothers had all daughters, and I chose to have neither because I enjoy having less responsibility and being their favorite uncle. My and my brother's success is due to the fact that our parents instilled in us the importance of taking advantage of all opportunities that come our way. My parents presumed I would take advantage of opportunities because they presumed me to be competent. Regardless of one's disability, we all must presume competence in each other. While I didn't attend graduate school or earn a PhD like my siblings, my parents always believed in my abilities, even though I started speaking later than usual. Many people, including myself, have always self-directed our lives, making choices that allow others to assume our competence. This is getting a bit too long, and I feel that I'm on a first date with you all. Now that we have broken the ice, let's move forward to my talk. The self-direction program operates on five fundamental principles. Instead of delving into program-specific training, I'll focus on how these principles intertwine within each of us, particularly within the disabled community, facilitating a life driven by self-determination. I would like to define self-direction. Self-direction refers to the ability of individuals to take initiative, make decisions, and manage their own learning and development that we all use in our lives. For example, you all woke up this morning and decided to attend this conference. You took the initiative to register for the conference weeks in advance and decided to block out time in your schedule to sit in front of the computer to gain insight from experts in their field in pursuit of enriching your lives. Not knowingly, you self-directed your day to be here. Let's discuss the five principles in more depth and how they relate to a person with a disability and empowerment. Freedom means you have the right to make choices and live life the way you want. This includes where you live, who you live with, and who you have in your life as friends and family. Authority means you have control over your money and resources. You can decide how to spend your money to get the support and services you need without other people telling you what to do. Support means everyone needs help sometimes. You should be able to choose who helps you, whether it's a friend, family member, or someone else you trust. It's important to have people around who understand and care about you. Responsibility means taking charge of your life and making good choices. You have a role to play in your own well-being and in your community. It's about doing your part and being reliable. Confirmation means your decisions matter. Nobody should doubt or question what you choose for yourself. You have the right to make decisions that work best for you, and others should respect that. It's about trusting yourself and being confident in your choices. I believe that individuals with disabilities often embody these principles more profoundly than those without disabilities, because our experiences have been shaped by societal gatekeepers and barriers that historically sought to marginalize us. Leaderships like Judy Heumann and Bob Williams have emphasized the importance of asserting our voices prominently, rather than relegating them to the background. Moreover, I've always viewed disability as a unique perspective rather than a limitation. We approach challenges as opportunities for growth, leveraging our distinct viewpoints to navigate obstacles that others might overlook. Rather than perceiving a stop sign as a barrier, we interpret it more as a yield sign, prompting us to proceed with caution. My ability to articulate effectively through my device demonstrates the priority my family places on communication. Whether through technology or the support of communication partners, I've cultivated various skills to express myself fully. Despite being Korean American, my family's dynamic is shaped by the fact that they communicate with a son, brother, and uncle who use different modalities. At the time, when my parents were raising me and my brothers, it wasn't culturally acceptable to let others know that you had a child who had severe disabilities. Instead of isolating me from others, my family embraced the fact that I was born and would need help in my developmental and physical growth. This creates a distinct culture within our family, centered around embracing diverse communication methods. I often distinguish between my disability and my ethnicity, viewing AAC usage as part of a separate cultural identity. When conversing with friends who also use AAC, we share a unique mode of communication, akin to the tight-knit community found among deaf individuals and users of ASL. Unfortunately, our IDD systems and services do not see communication as another appendix to our body that we vitally need, like air and water to survive, but rather as an option to purchase, like a sunroof on a car. I believe that all people can communicate through various means, no matter what their economic status is. Over 2 million children and adults use some form of AAC to communicate, yet regional centers don't see communication as a criteria in the IPP process. There are low-tech and high-tech solutions out there. Everyone has a right to communication. Economics doesn't have to be and shouldn't be a barrier. We all need access. I would like to elaborate further on the importance of presuming competence. If I wasn't conversing with you right now, or just remain silent in my Zoom box, or better yet, we meet in person, you may think that I'm less competent than you because you may not know how I communicate with people. I'm guilty of the same thing. When I meet someone new, especially a new staff member to help me around my house, the first question I ask them is if they can cook, and I test them in the kitchen to see if they can turn on the microwave or boil water. You might be asking yourself, how simple is that? But trust me, there are people who don't know where the start button is on a microwave. There are two things that we should all know when presuming competence. The first one is, everyone has something to say, meaning that no matter what your disability is, we all need to communicate through whatever forms, and there are many forms of communication. Second, everyone can learn. By not presuming competence, you are limiting the person to a tiny rectangle and not a big circle. Not all of us can communicate with the alphabet and type on a keyboard. I know of a person who uses Morse code to communicate on their device. I'd like to give you an example of my friend. I have a friend who has autism, and he likes to go to Disneyland no matter what the weather is like, and our conversation is all about Disneyland. From afar, people might think that my friend can't communicate with me other than talking about Disneyland, but that is a totally wrong perception of my friendship with him. For example, when I see my doctor, we talk about my health. We rarely talk about anything else. When I talk to my friend, I know that he will talk to me about Disneyland, and some people may think that he has no competence at all, but if you listen to him carefully, he can have a real conversation with you. Every year, my friend reminds me months in advance that it's time for me to have my annual barbecue in the summer, and that is how we communicate with each other that it's time to hang out. Please don't have preconceived notions about how we should communicate, because it always leads to questioning others' abilities to function, and it's demeaning to the person. My final point that I would like to make on this is that the ability to allow people to come to their conclusions is essential and presuming competence. Giving someone multiple choice answers where their decision is already predetermined isn't the best way for them to make an informed choice because someone else has already decided for them. I have numerous examples from my life where my family empowered me to make my own decisions rather than limiting me to predefined options. However, saving my toes from cramps and answering any questions you may have afterward, I want to leave with you this final thought. Thinking about my experiences and those of other people with disabilities, I remember how crucial it is to accept different ways of communicating. We need to create places where everyone feels empowered to make their own choices. If we believe in people's abilities and respect their viewpoints, we can help them live lives where they're in control. So, as we finish up, I encourage you to think about how you can promote self-direction in your own life, and communication is the base to start. Let's make sure everyone has the chance to follow their dreams and decisions. Thank you and give me a few seconds so I can stretch out my legs and I will be happy to answer questions.
Thank you so much, Tim. That was a great talk about self-direction and explaining how that works. It seems like for right now, people who have the self-direction program is a relatively new program, and we're still working out a lot of the kinks. And I think we're going to find that we need some new types of services and supports moving forward. Do you have some ideas of what kinds of services and supports would work for people who don't have intensive parent support? Maybe their parents are disabled themselves or elderly or sick and aren't able to provide the same level of support as they might have when they were younger, or maybe they were never able to provide that support. How can we make sure that everybody has access to communication?
Ooh. Having a natural support system is equally as important as having paid support, and it's crucial to the person's success, other than health and safety. But without any ability to communicate, these support that we need are even harder to get because our IDD system doesn't see communication as a fundamental right to a person.
Yes. I think building that natural support takes work. It doesn't just happen. You got to work at it.
Yes, for our community, it's even more difficult to find natural support because of our disability, but it's not impossible also.
Point. We have a question. Do you have advice for advocacy around making sure that those who use mouth words give adequate time for AAC users to contribute their thoughts?
The best advice that I can recommend is, we live in a fast-paced world, especially in California. Our society just needs to slow down, and if you need more time to speak, let them know that you need accommodation beforehand. For example, when I'm seeing a new doctor, I make sure to let their office know the way that I communicate, and they are aware that the doctor needs to block out more time for my visit.
Good. And I think some training in patience is also required. I think you're demonstrating live typing and the time it takes is very instructive to our audience about practicing that patience. So I appreciate your giving us the opportunity to do that today. Do you have any final words?
Yes, It's both ways and not a one-way street.
Well, there's many congratulations to you in the chat, and I want to thank you so very much for your teaching over many years and your example and your role modeling. You're a hero to me. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I know there will be even more advocates during and after my life.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.